Accession number 30399, Mr. Bill Parr, Rear 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Parr?
When? February 28th, 1933, Stepney, London.
You tell us a bit about your family background. Were you living in Stepney, or where were the family based?
My family, mum and dad, and Janie was my mum's mother, that was my nan, grandfather Fred. They was living in Bacon Street. That's just off of Brick Lane, Bethnal Green, number 28. It's still there today, but not as it was. But there was a yard by the side of number 28, which was our yard anyway. And the last time I went down there was 2 years ago. And they were using it. The tenement, number 28, was still there. But they was using the yard to sell Sunday mornings, to sell office furniture. And it used to be a stable. Like, you know, the old man had a cart down there and a little stable, like, you know. And our water, we used to get our water from the basement. And it just shows you how times have changed. Mother used to tell me her name was Sylvia. Funny enough, I grew up calling her Sylvia, so did the family. But if any time you was in trouble, and she knew, you would call her Mum. If you got trouble at school, it would be Mum. Now, what have you done, Bill?
You were saying about the water.
Yeah, about the water. She used to tell me that sometimes she'd go down, she was a young woman, obviously, she'd go down in the cellar to get water, and she knew someone's down there, somebody would be breathing or be a movement, there was no light down there, and they would say, "Oh, it's all right, Sylvia, it's only me." You know, there was an out of work, just to lay about. But he was finding a bit of shelter down there to rest and sleep at the night time. Plus the fact as well, down about 5 minutes walk away from Brick Lane was Wheeler Street Arches. Now they're still there today, and they was all gaslit. You could walk down there, she used to tell me, you could walk down there as a young woman, you would never get molested, you was quite safe walking down there around Bethnal Green, because they had guys there that the molesters were so terrified of. You only had to say one word. They weren't villains, but you had to say one word, so-and-so, you know, he's out of order, and they would be set about, really, and they would never do it again, which is not... It doesn't just happen today, does it?
You know. So you were living in Bethnal, well,
Bacon Street, yeah.
What were your parents doing for a living?
Mother used to work at Waterlow's, as far as I can remember. Waterlow's used to make the bank notes, and she used to walk there. I can't bring to mind whereabouts that was, but she used to walk there and walk home as well. Father, he was a coalman.
Hence the horse and cart.
Horse and cart, yeah. He was a coalman. He never worked for himself. He worked for Lee Bonds, Charrington's.
Yeah, how comfortable was you, you know, living in Bethnal Green then? I mean,
nice. We was one big. There was Uncle Wagg, my Uncle Wagg, which was my mother's brother, Charles Arthur. His name was Price. Their name was Price. My mother's name was Price, and lovely war record during the First World War. Handsome man on a horse, Royal Horse Artillery. And there was Uncle Jim. That was it.
They were in the same block?
He was in the same tenement as us, yeah. We had the old of it, like, you know. And me nan, obviously, me nan here, Janie, and me grandfather, Fred. Fred was a seafarer. Now, he was under sail. All this was related to me by my mother, you know, and it's so interesting. The tales he used to tell, my grandmother used to say, "Oh, silly old sod," like, you know, what's the matter with him? But my mother she said they was true. Yeah. I think my mother was a favourite of her father, which was my granddad.
Did your dad serve in the war, or was he too young?
No, he served in the war.
The First World War, I mean.
Yes, yes. I had a photo of him somewhere in his uniform. I can't.
Doesn't matter. Did he come out all right?
Oh, yes, yes. He come out all right. But he died, I think. I think I was about 5 years old when he died, and he was gassed during the war, during the First World War, and he had this operation, and he never recovered from the operation. I think I was about 5 years old.
So just before the war started.
Yeah, yeah, yes. And
did he have trouble with his coughing? And
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He did, yeah. But a mother never married. No.
Were the family able to cope? Or, I suppose it was an extended family, so.
What happened was, we left. I don't know the year it was. It must have been, yes, after father died, we left Bethnal Green. And that was when we went to live down Station Road, Tottenham Hale. We lived at number 33. And.
Now, I know, because we talked before, just tell us a bit about Tottenham Hale, because it's very different from it is now. And
from it is now,
yes. Tell us what it was like then.
It was a country village, it really was. We lived opposite, as if you went down Station Road, which led, obviously, to the station, it was a block end. But as you went down Station Road, you come to Ashley Road, which was a block end, Brograve Road, which was a block end, and then Station Road led to the station and the goods depot, which was on the left, the station was down on the right. And before you got there, was a green. You had to go between two posts, and there was a picket fence going round, and there was a station. And I always remember, because Saturday or Friday nights or Saturday morning, the station would be packed up with pigeon boxes. Where they used to send the racing pigeons down, and they used to wait for them to come home Saturdays. Oh, it was great, it was good fun. They used to play cricket on the green, and it's such fun to be alive then, it was.
Now, had you started school before the war broke out? You'd be about five.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Now, tell us a bit about your education. Where did you go?
Just round the corner.
In Tottenham Hale?
2 minutes walk, yeah. Down Lane School, it was called. We had an infants. And a junior, so you never left the school, you started off at infants. And at the time, you'd have a break during the afternoon and a sleep on a little camping in the hall. Sleep! But funny, I hated school.
Now, why did you hate school?
Really, I did. I was... Since I can remember, I've been with horses. And living 2 minutes walk away from a coal depot and their stables. As a youngster, before I went to school, I was in the coal depot. And the smell of the horse, because I love the smell of a horse, coal sacks. When I went to school, my first day at school, I could remember though it was yesterday. Mother held me hand. It was only a 5 minute walk away to Down Lane. But on the way, there was a shop called Koski's, and he used to sell things like cat bangers, what we had as a kid, you know. He used to, two bits of metal in a half, used to put a cap in it, and attached to it was a little parachute, and he used to chuck it up, and it used to come down with the lead weight and go bang inside. He used to sell stuff like that, you know. Anything he used to sell, cat bangers and guns and all that, you know, little toy things. Mother, she was holding me, can I go in Koski's? I can't remember it so well. As soon as she let me hand go, I was gone. I fled. The only way I knew was back to the coal yard, and I had coalmen chasing me, because Mother come chasing after me down the coal yard. There was, in the coal yard, there was, as you went in the coal depot, there was H.J. Jackson's. The next one down was the co-op. Then there was Lee Bonds, and then there was N.D. Francis. So it just shows you the size of the coal depot to have those firms, big managed firms like that, you know, working down there. And mind you, they caught me anyway and took me back. That was my first day.
So you didn't like school?
No, I didn't like school. I never liked school, and not until I went from there, when you was 12 year old, you went to Page Green, you went to a secondary school then, which was your leaving school, you know, which was only down the road as well. Instead of going that way, to the right, I turned left and went down Broad Lane, and it was on the corner. I was playing football at the time. Lovely. We used to have a sports master, Mr. Mackay. He was great. He's not very long passed away in his old age. I played for Tottenham Boys when I played football. I got the county standard.
I'll come back to football. Yeah. What about the? Because that's a bit later.
Later.
How did you? So you didn't do very well at school. I mean, there are no subjects you liked.
I was no academic. I was good at reading, geography, but as far as mathematics, you know, I was not academically blessed that way.
Now tell me a bit more about this interest in horses. I mean, how did? Your dad had a horse. I mean, was that the start of it?
I was always round horses. I was always round horses. In fact, it used to grieve me so much. I was in Mr. Smith's class at the secondary school, Page Green, and the class looked down onto the road, our classroom, onto Broad Lane. I used to hear the clip clop of the big heavy horse going along. He used to pay me so much I couldn't be down there. Yeah.
I mean, would you go and help in the coal yard stables?
Oh, all the time. As kids, as a 12-year-old, I was holding up sacks for them to fill them up, little underweight sacks for them to fill up. When they did get an old vehicle, well, it was one of the first, Charrington's was one of the first to get mechanised. It'd be nothing for me to jump in it and move it round the coal yard for them. A few bumps, I know, but being an old coal log, it didn't matter. But, oh, yeah.
It was fun. I'll come back to the sport, I think. Now, when you were very young, and we're talking, the six?
Yeah.
The war started.
Oh, yeah.
Now, just after your dad died, really, he moved to Tottenham Hill.
That's it, yeah.
Now, I know you're very young, but do you remember the day the war broke out, in the sense of what impact it had on you? Just as
the day the war broke out. No, I don't know.
So
it was 39.
Were you evacuated, or were you safe enough in Tottenham anyway?
No. Well, we weren't safe there because we had the Anderson shelter down the.
Well, tell us about that. Let's talk about the area, the precaution.
Garden, you know.
What was it? People don't know what Anderson shelters are. Can you explain what it was and what it was like?
Well, you dug a 6-foot hole down the bottom of the garden, and you had these corrugated sections which bent, loped over from the top and joined in the centre. I think there was about 4 or 5 of those, and they were bolted at the top, sunk into the ground, 2 fronts come down, and you had a little entrance and steps where you stepped in and you stepped down, you know. Yeah. And
what was in there? What was it like in there?
Well, you had bunks. If it was up to you how you made it, like, you know, how comfortable you was down there. Mother would put carpet down, and
it was dry then, because a lot of them were wet.
No, yes, it was dry, but there was condensation as well. That was the problem with those. But being youngsters, you didn't notice. The adults would probably notice, but...
So she put down carpet?
Oh, yes, carpets. And Uncle Wag, which was my Uncle Charlie, really, but everyone called him Wag, Uncle Wag, and Uncle Jim. They weren't living at us. They was living just in another house. We lived at 33. They lived at 31.
So they'd come with you?
Yeah. And being the men, they made these bunks, 4 bunks, and that, you know, and it was great.
And what was it like in there as a kid?
Well, at that time, you'd had the sirens would go 7 o'clock at night they would go, the warning sirens would go, and you'd all make your way down into these. Those that weren't there would go in Morrison shelters. With the Morris, they were brick-built shelters outside on the road, and they would go there. But
you'd be in the Anderson.
We'd be in the Anderson shelters, yes.
And what were the raids like?
And you listened to the bombs. Oh dear. But the more, see, being as young as we was, we didn't realise the danger. It's being youngster like that, you don't realise the danger, like, you know. And we couldn't wait to get out in the morning. And when you did get out, you find houses. What's happened? You didn't realise, being as young as we was, we didn't realise. Because right opposite where we lived, across the road, adjoining the green, it was the end of Station Road really, was a Shell depot. You know, Shell, a fuel depot. It was a fuel depot where Uncle Wegg and Uncle Jim worked. Yeah, and we didn't realise it was next to that.
So it's a bit of a target.
It was a target, but the target was Tottenham Hall, really. There was one...
There wasn't much damage in the area, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about it.
I'll tell you for why. One morning... One night we had an incendiary raid. Incendiary was the firebombs. Oil, they was fueled by oil. As they hit, they caught a light. Incendiaries. The whole of Tottenham Hall was hit. And I mean, in one turning next to us, Ashley Road, now these were big factories. There was the Eagle Pencil, which made pencils, obviously. Next to that, at the block end, was the Cannon Rubber. Now, that was the end, because that was how far the turning went. Coming across the road, there was the Ever Ready. You can imagine the personnel that the Ever Ready carried, and they was mainly women. Coming up towards us now was Lorillo's and Bolton's. They produced printing inks. That was in one turning, 100 yards. But at the end of that turning was a park. And they had a searchlight and an AK-AK gun in there. That was a light. This was one night. Next to our turning...
They were on fire all.
They was all afire. Yeah, not only them, but I'll tell you what else was afire. Was the coal depot. Was the goods depot. That was a flame. Coming out of Station Road was what they called the Pound. It was the Pound. It was actually called the Pound. It was where they used to put all the loose horses and cattle. And it was actually called a Pound. Well, opposite there was Flatto's. Flatto's, they made boot and shoes, and Etam's was a part of Flatto's, was made stockings. That was a light. We got up the following morning, and the whole of the Pound and Tottenham Hall had boot and shoes and heels in and lasts. Builder Butcher, it was just black where the oil had burnt. That was Flatto's. Next to that was Gestetner's, massive firm. That was a light. Down the bottom of Broad Lane was Dickinson's. They made stationery. They produced all the stationery, so you can imagine the light that was the burning light. They hit the right places. Coming round the corner, going over the the station bridge, Ferry Lane it's called. It's still there today, Ferry Lane. You had the biggest prize of all, was Harris Levis. Now they were the furniture makers. They must have held about 2,000 or 3,000 personnel, because most of Tottenham at that time, if you worked at one, the family followed as well. Uncles, sisters, brothers, they all worked at that. But Harris Levis, that was the prize, because during the war, now I'm talking about the Second World War, They made the Mosquito fighter and also the gliders. They made the gliders. That was one. But on the left, over the other side of the road, was Keith Blackman's. Keith Blackman's was an engineer. That was a block in for Billmead Road. That was a block in run alongside the river. But Keith Blackman's, during the war, they made the ventilated things for submarines. That was another prize, you know. That was all a lie. Tottenham Hale was simply a lie. It really was. And when we woke up that morning and see the devastation...
I mean, could you understand? I mean, you'd
want... We couldn't understand. I mean, we was, as kids, we was going round there with picking up boxes of pencils, like, you know, we great pencils, never seen them. I don't think there was a loss of life, because the factories at the time was empty. It was night time, you know, except Liebes's. I mean, they wouldn't have been closed anyway.
And it was mainly incendiaries.
It was incendiaries. Nothing else. No HT. Just incendiaries. And the whole of it, whole of Tottenham Hale was alight. And what we laugh now, but coming on that railway line was the LNER. Used to come from Liverpool Street, used to go right through to Cambridge, which it still does today. But they used to have a naval gun travelling up and down of an evening. And when it used to go off, us living near the railway, 50 yards away really, the windows used to go. If your windows were facing the railway, that's the blast used to knock them out. It was great. And the bits of the lumps of shrapnel that used to go round, there was a bit of a competition who could find the biggest bit of shrapnel, you know.
You were one of those that collected shrapnel.
And it used to be red hot sometimes when you picked it up. Oh! Yeah.
What was the thing about collecting shrapnel?
I don't know.
A lot of people seemed to have done it.
Oh, no, we did. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just bits of metal.
Lumps of it. Yeah, it was. Yeah. Lumps of shell. And oh, dear. Look at that. Used to go to school with this lump of. Yeah.
Oh, was there much bomb damage? I mean, that's incendiaries.
Yeah, bomb damage.
On
was.
The houses as
yeah.
well.
High Cross Road. There wasn't so much, funny enough, there was hardly any bomb damage in Station and Brograve Road. But down the Tottenham Hale, there was. They're not there now because the new roads have just changed the face of Tottenham all, you know. There was Chestnut Road. Coming down from the High Road into Tottenham Hale, there was Chestnut Road, Colsterworth Road, Wellbourne Road, High Cross Road, Somerset. Now, they've completely gone there, and they've made it a new way and everything else. But Georgie Maskell, they lived at 31.
Friend,
this is my friend, yeah, at 31. They was... He said he woke up one morning. I remember we was getting bombed every night anyway. But he said he woke up one morning, looked out from the Anderson shelter. He said the house was completely gone. We're looking at the house, it's over the other side of the road. The house had gone. But at that time, you could move down. If there was an house empty down the road, you just moved in there anyway. Yeah. Twice I was knocked out, because at the top of Icos Road it was so devastated they put prefabs, these prefabricated houses, you know, for those for quickness, and it went, the devastation went from completely across the two houses and two roads from Icos to Wellbourne. There was open space where they
did they put the prefabs after the war or during the war?
Oh, during the war, yeah.
What were they like, the prefabs? I mean, did your friend get one? Or
no, they just moved houses, like, you know, just moved houses, they did. I'd love one now. Because they all had... They was just like small bungalows. But they all had ground all the way round. Yeah, enough. You had nice garden ground all the way. They made sure of that. And that, I think it was the first time that really anyone had... And had fridges and all that, you know, they, although they was old and all that, and had electrics all the way round.
So they were more modern than what?
Oh, they was modern to what the houses we lived in, yeah. Gas mantle time, that's when I remember.
what one thing I forgot to ask you was about the blackout. I mean, how was that done in your house? Who did it? Your mum, I suppose. You know,
she always done it. She was the last one, and it was always done there. I mean, during the winter time when it closes down about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, you get dark and dull days. Yeah, we had thick black curtains. Used to pull them right across, and living so close to that naval gun and everything else going up and down, we had sticky paper. I don't know what it was they put on it at the time.
On the windows.
Yeah.
Stop breaking.
Crossed on the window, just to stop them shattering. You know, like, you know, if there was a blast and all that, which shafts of glass could do quite some damage.
Do you remember being issued with your gas mask as a child?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Tell us about that. When did you get it?
Never wore it at all. I can't remember when I got it, but I remember the square box. I don't think I ever pulled it out of the box.
You never tried
honestly,
it on?
Honestly, no.
Didn't they test the fitting when you got it?
Oh, you just tried it on and that was it, and that was when in the box. But instead of having just a plain cardboard box, I don't know what ball it might have been, Mother or Uncle Meg or something like that, I had a brown case instead. It wasn't a leather case, it was a brown case. And you used to have to wear it for school and, you know, this brown case. All the others used to go, although we weren't rich by any means, the others had a cardboard box on.
Now, so what would you do? I mean, did you play on the bomb sites? I mean, a lot of children did play on bomb
no.
sites. You didn't?
No. No. Any spare time, I was down the coal depot. Down the coal yard, or even around the stables. H.J. Jackson's had a stable at the end of Station Road into Howell Road. Still, I've got photos of it somewhere, H.J. Jackson's. And if I can just go forward a little bit, now you've mentioned I've mentioned the stables. We lost a guy I used to help. Herbie Clark, he lost his life rescuing horses. This was the time when the incendiaries was down. H.J. Jackson Stables was the light, and there was three horses in there. There's a little mare, I recall, Trixie, little Suffolk mare, and there was a Herbie's horse called Britain, spelt the old Britain, B-R-I-T-O-N. Britain, lovely black he was, you know. And there was Bill, the other horse. I think Herbie and a few of his friends had been out for the night, and when they could see Tottenham Owl was alight with these incendiaries, and Herbie, horses, he was horse mad as well, and always had me horse. He went down, he climbed the gates of the yard, got the horses out into the yard. And I think it was a cobblestone where the bombs was exploding. The cobblestone had tore his stomach out. But he got the horses out and he climbed the gates again, and he died there.
And he was the stableman, or?
Oh no, he was a coalman, but one of his horse was in there. He used to work for H.A. Jackson's. But his horse was in there. There were three horses stabled in this stable. And I don't know where Bill was, Bill Tamblyn. He was the resident manager, horse manager there, but I don't know where he must have been down
now,
in.
Now, what would you do in this stable to help? Do you know what I mean? How would you help in the stables?
You'd muck out. My first job was I was a stable boy.
Is that after leaving school?
Yeah, 14.
So that's after the what? Hang on.
Yeah.